Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome in to Tech Talk, RNIB Connect Radio's regular journey into the world of accessible technology from a blindness and low vision perspective. I'm Dave Williams. Don't forget, of course, Tech Talk, it's your programme. We always love to hear from you, so why not write in or even send us an audio file? You can do that with our email address, which is techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. This week, we'll be talking about the accessible in-home display. Callum tries out voice guidance from Virgin, and we will be hearing from Colin Shales from RNIB's Technology for Life team about the new Apple AirPod Pro 2. That's all coming up this time on Tech Talk. Welcome in to our co-hosts, Tazdi Marshad and Callum Stoneman. What's grabbing you in the world of technology this week, guys?
Well, what's grabbing my attention? I mean, you can't move at the minute in the tech news for the controversy and fallout of the whole Elon Musk buying Twitter situation. I mean, I don't know if we'll really get into that much here because it's not particularly accessible tech, but it's certainly... it's interesting to see how this is all going to play out, I think.
It is. And I mean, Twitter have made great strides. I mean, a lot of people like Twitter because it is text-based, so it works well with screen readers and braille displays and magnification. But increasingly, there are lots of images and videos on Twitter, and I suppose they have made steps in the right direction in terms of including features to add those alt tags to make that more accessible. So let's hope that Twitter remains accessible. But of course, with any change of ownership or leadership, we always wonder, as blind and partially sighted people, I think, what does this mean for us in terms of accessibility? So one to watch. I think you're right, Callum. Tasneem, what's on your radar?
I'm just kind of exploring the latest version of iOS and finding it quite interesting compared to previous. I kind of like the new Siri, the changes that they've made there, and kind of just exploring that and just finding it quite interesting, really.
So lots and lots going on in the world of technology. Well, let's get on with it then. Settle in. It's Tech Talk. Regular listeners to Tech Talk will maybe remember a few months ago I demonstrated the voice guidance feature on the Sky Q set-top box. Well, of course, Sky Q is not the only accessible set-top box. Callum Stoneman now demonstrates the voiceover guidance feature from Virgin Media.
You might remember a few weeks ago here on Tech Talk, Dave did a wonderful demo of voice guidance on the Sky Q box, and we had a bit of discussion about premium TV services in general and the accessibility of those services. And we use Virgin Media, and I said at the time that I just do everything via the app because the Virgin TV service doesn't have a screen reader. Well, turns out I stand corrected on that. I was trying to help someone out the other day. I was looking for instructions on how to turn on audio description on the Virgin TV box. And I'm having a look through the Virgin Media accessibility pages, looking for the instructions, and I come across this whole section on voiceover guidance. So what voiceover guidance is essentially Virgin Media's take on what we've kind of come to expect in a lot of TV services now. So obviously, as I mentioned, Sky Q have got their voice guidance. Samsung and I think Sony and several other brands now have got some form of screen reading functionality built into their smart TVs. And this is the option for Virgin Media customers. Now, this only works on the Virgin Media 360 box. So if you've got one of the older style TiVo boxes, then unfortunately this won't be available to you. But I think the 360 box is their latest one. So if you're on a kind of more recent package with them, I believe you will have the 360 box. And I'm not sure what the best way of checking is. If you've got your My Virgin Media account set up, then maybe have a look in there under the TV information, the information about your TV services, or just give Virgin Media a call. I'm sure they will be able to check for you and tell you which one you've got. So there's a couple of ways to enable this. You can go into the settings if you've got enough vision to do that, or if you've got somebody with you, then you can press the home button on your remote and go into settings and then into accessibility. And then there's a whole section there for voiceover guidance, and you can enable, you can turn it on and off, you can adjust the speed and various other settings, or you can do it using voice control. The TV is on at the minute and it's on mute. So I'm going to unmute it, and then I'm going to hold down the microphone button on my Virgin TV remote. And I'm just going to say,
why not put my work to the test?
Voiceover guidance on.
Voiceover guidance is on.
I'll try not to. Right,
okay, it's now on. To. So if I press the channel up button.
Channel 102, BBC Two, live, World Championship Artistic Gymnastics, now live. From 1900 hours until 2100 hours. Catch up possible.
Proving the apparatus are
okay,
changing.
Channel up again.
Channel 103, ITV, Coronation Street, episode 260. Now live. From 2000 hours until 2100 hours. Catch up possible. Audio description available.
They weren't sanctimonious.
Okay, so I'm just going to mute that for a second. So pretty simple there. It's telling us the name of the channel, the name of the program, and the time that that program is on till. You may have noticed it said catch up possible there. There's no support for third-party apps on this, and I'll come on to more about the limitations of this in a minute, because it is pretty basic. But there's no support for third-party apps, so you can, it gives you the little hint there that catch up is possible, and you can press the info button and navigate down to the watch on catch up option. But as soon as you press that, it will just say that it will throw you out to ITV Hub in this case, but would just say this area isn't supported. So it will sort of get you there, but it won't help you choose an episode, or let's say a parental controls thing came up where you've got to enter your PIN or something like that. It wouldn't tell you about that. But we kind of expect that, you know, a lot of the, that's the same with Sky and most of the other smart TVs, or certainly the ones that I've come across, they don't have the support for third-party apps either. So that's just kind of browsing the channels. You can type in a channel number as well, and it will read out the number that you type in, and then when it changes to that channel, it will do the same thing. So, you know, say channel 101 BBC One HD and whatever the program is that you're currently viewing. I'm going to unmute again, and I'm going to go on to the program guide so you can hear how that works.
Enlarged electronic program guide. Today, channel 103, ITV, Coronation Street, episode 260. Now live, from 2000 hours until 2100 hours. Catch up possible. Audio description available. Drama, soap. Summer strikes a deal in order to help Aaron's dad. Tyrone lashes out at Mick in defense of Hope, and Lawrence catches Sean invading his privacy. Press arrows left and right to navigate through channels. Press arrows up and down to navigate through time. Press home to go to the date selector.
Okay, a little bit long-winded, but it gave us, again, told us we were in the program guide, gave us the program name, gave us a description of the episode as well, and then gave us instructions, you know, of how to navigate this. So if I press the down arrow, we'll move on to the next program that's on ITV after this.
Charles, our new king, from 2100 hours until 2210. Audio description available. Documentary, biography, exploring the life and times of King Charles III. Making use of fresh interviews with those who have observed him closely over the years, this is the story behind the man we think we know and what it means for him now that he is our new king.
Okay, and if I press the...
Press arrows left and right to navigate through channels. Press arrows up and down to navigate through time. Press home to go to the date selector.
If I press the left arrow, we'll go to whatever is on BBC Two at that time.
Channel 102, BBC Two. First contact, an alien encounter, from 2100 hours until 2230. Catch up possible.
Now, from what I can tell, there's no way to really interrupt the speech, so I'm just going to mute again. But that works really well as well, browsing the TV guide and browsing the channels. It tells you obviously a description of each program and whether AD is available and whether catch-up is available. The other thing that doesn't seem to work, it says there press home to go to the date selector. I can't figure out how that works. So I press home and it does bring up a list of dates. I think you can go a week or two in advance. But I then just seem to get stuck in a loop of it telling me to select a date and it doesn't actually take me to that date in the guide. So not entirely sure what's going on there. But if you wanted to just browse what's on for the next few hours, or I guess you could browse through days by just constantly pressing the down arrow until you find the date that you want. That's pretty much all there is to it, though, with this voice guidance. It's literally just for browsing channels and viewing the program guide. So if I kind of go back to the live TV,
our new king, Cloud scud.
If I press the home button, Victoria, which would
the statue of Richard the Foot.
If I press the home button, which would take you into the sort of Virgin Media's main menu, this is all we get.
Lost a much loved queen.
This area isn't supported by voiceover guidance. Press back to return.
So it just tells you it's not supported, and if I press any of the arrow keys here,
known as head of state, up there on that balcony, on the stamps,
it is moving, steady, but it's just not saying anything.
Unchanged.
So nothing else works apart from the program guide, or at least at the moment. So you can't browse your recordings and browse the on-demand content and things like that. All of that would still have to be done via the app. There are ways to adjust the functionality of voiceover guidance, so you can adjust the speed and the volume. However, there's a beautiful bit of irony here. So again, the same with turning it on and off, you can get to it via the settings and accessibility menus, or you can use voice control and say voiceover guidance settings. But check out what happens when you do this.
Also of generations yet
voiceover more. Guidance settings.
He's thought very deeply about the role and its nature. So I think now, he understands completely the role. Or
it hasn't said anything, history. But I think it has actually brought up the settings. But if I press the down arrow,
duty and service, it's also about an understanding of the British
people. Once again, and doesn't say anything.
To getting the role and
but if I press the OK button here,
evolution right.
Crowds cheer the
selection screen. Average. Selected. Three. Fast. Not select. Faster. Not selected. 5 of 7. Press
so that's
OK to select. Prep. Very fast. Not selected. 6 of 7. Press OK to select.
So that
press
is
up and down to navigate. Press back to return.
So that is adjusting the speech rate option of voiceover guidance. But it didn't tell us. It's telling us the options available, but it's not telling us the feature that we're actually adjusting. So if I press back, again, not said anything, and then I press the down arrow, basically we're on the volume option now, and I know this just from playing around with it. So basically there's three options in this screen. You've got voiceover guidance on or off, you've got the speech rate, and then volume. But as I said, if I arrow through this, doesn't say anything. But if I click on one of these options,
selection screen, 60%, selected, 3 of 5, press OK to select, 80%, not selected, 4 of 5, press OK to select, press up and down to navigate, press back to return.
So that one is adjusting the volume. But again, I know this just from trial and error, just from playing around. I haven't actually had a sighted person look at this with me, but from what I can gather, there's options for speech rate and volume, and it tells you what you're adjusting. Like, it tells you the options that you can select, but doesn't tell you what you're actually changing. So I have no idea why it's like that. That seems a bit bizarre to me. But there you go. It's I don't know if this is new. The information about it online, as I said, there's not really much info about it, especially not in terms of when it's come about. I think, from what I can find, information about when this was released seems to point to around about September of this year, 2022. So hopefully it's just, you know, pretty new and it's still being added to. But it's a nice start. So if you're a Virgin Media customer, then this might be of interest to you. If you're currently, like I was, you know, faffing around with the app and you just want to kind of quickly switch to a channel or quickly just check the guide without having to get your phone out and go into the app and make sure that it's on the same network as your TV box, etc., then give this a go.
Callum Stoneman and Tasneem Arshad join me now. Callum, it's great to hear that some of these companies are making huge strides in the right direction, you know, really positive that we're getting speech output and sort of a basic screen reader experience, I suppose, for some of these set-top box and also, you know, integrated into many smart TVs now. But there's a long way still to go, isn't there, surely?
Yeah, there is. I mean, as I say in the review there, it's great if you just want to kind of look at the TV guide and find out what you're currently watching and maybe, you know, what's coming up in the next hour or two. But just there's some things for me. I mean, third-party apps is a tough one because it's, you know, who's responsible for that? Is it Virgin because it's their box and their screen reader, or is it the app developers, or is it a bit of both? I'm leaning towards a bit of both personally. But the fact that with this, you can't even adjust the voice guidance settings independently. I mean, it just feels like something really obvious has been missed out. You know, the fact that you can go into the settings and it doesn't tell you which option you're changing, but it does tell you the options associated with it. It just feels a bit, how did that get through?
It would be interesting to hear and learn about how much research and user testing actually occurred, because it doesn't sound like that there was much feedback that they gained, and I think that would be something that I would encourage them to return back to gain some more feedback and research so they could actually move forward with that as a suggestion.
I mean, I've been on both sides of this because I've also worked in software development, and I understand it's complex and it takes a long time, and, you know, it's very difficult to test all the use cases and edge cases and all of these things that come into product development. And I think the most important thing is that we as consumers continue to feedback really strongly. You know, let Virgin Media know, let Sky know. If something isn't accessible, these organizations have dedicated accessibility teams, and the more people that contact them and the more of us that raise any questions or concerns that we might have, the more likely we are to get a solution. So yeah, keep an eye on that for us, Callum, and let us know how things progress.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or tweet at RNIB Radio.
RNIB has worked with industry to develop the accessible in-home display, sometimes referred to as the AIHD. And this device intends to make information about energy usage more accessible for blind and partially sighted people and anyone else, actually. And we're going to have a bit of a chat about this now. Tasneem Arshad, who else do you think might benefit from a accessible in-home display?
I think anybody who has any print impairment, anybody with dyslexia particularly, I think it'd be quite helpful. And anybody with mobility issues with regards to their hands, because the buttons are quite large on the displays, from my understanding. I personally don't have an accessible in-home display, but it's in the pipeline for me to get one and to contact my energy company.
So that's right. So you do contact your supplier if you are looking to get one. It works in conjunction with your smart meters. Now, do you have a smart meter at the moment, Tasneem?
I do, yes.
Yeah, so your accessible in-home display does need that. If you've got an older style meter where the, you know, they come out and they actually do a manual reading, then you do need to get that changed if you want to make, you know, benefit from this device.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so essentially what it does is it kind of connects wirelessly to your smart meter, and then it reports how much energy you're using at any one time, and then you're able to use the buttons on the device, and it has large buttons and clear voice output, and you're able to use those buttons to kind of explore your historical usage. Because I don't know about you, sometimes it's difficult to know, isn't it, like how much energy have you used this week, this month, so far today?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's always good to track it and monitor it, especially in this climate, everyone being kind of eco-friendly and wanting to use energy less. So I think it's really important that blind and visually impaired people are able to track and monitor their usage, same as their sighted peers.
And I think the other thing that's important to point out is it's completely free of charge. So it's not going to cost you anything to get one of these.
Music to my ears, Dave. I think a lot of people will be very happy to hear that.
Indeed, yeah. Because, of course, at the moment, you know, we're all thinking about cost of living and the cost of our energy bills. And so that would put people off if there were a charge. But there isn't. And that's really good news, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
So RNIB has a webpage where you can find out more about the accessible in-home display. So you can pop along to rnib.org.uk/AIHD. So that's rnib.org.uk/AIHD, where you can find out more information. Or if you want to get one and you feel like this is definitely the thing for you, then the next step is to contact your energy provider. And then, of course, once you've got a smart meter and you've got the accessible in-home display, that's going to make it easier for you to understand how much energy you're using and what that is costing. And hopefully then you're able to make adjustments accordingly. So you might decide, oh, okay, maybe I don't quite need everything switched on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty good, to be honest. I do have a lot of things, you know, I don't leave them on standby. I switch them off at the plugs and that sort of thing. So I feel like I'm fairly conscious and aware of energy generally.
A smart meter is obviously providing you with accurate information. And that's so important. It's always struck me as a bit odd. Do you not think that we've paid sort of estimated energy bills in the past? You know, everything else is sort of accurate. You know exactly how much your phone bill is, you know exactly how much other bills are. You know, the idea that you're sort of paying approximately, you know, some kind of estimated value, obviously if you've got a smart meter and you've got an accessible in-home display, then you're getting accurate information, and that's quite important too.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Dave.
And of course the other thing, you know, your energy meter may well be tucked away, you know, in a cupboard under the stairs. Mine's outside, actually, in a little cupboard. I'm like, I can never find the key. So the beauty of having the display that talks to you and you can control with those buttons is, of course, that you can put it wherever you want, providing it's within, you know, the wireless range of the smart meter. So you can put it somewhere that's going to be a little bit more accessible, a little bit more available. We just have ours on a little side table in the living room, so I'm able to check in with it and see how much energy we're using, and I haven't got to ask a sighted person to go and do the meter reading. Have you ever had that, Tasneem, where your energy provider asks you for a meter reading and it's quite stressful? You've got to find somebody who's, you know, got the time to do that and help with it, and then you've got to find the key for the cupboard and all the rest of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a similar cupboard outside my house, and that's mainly for the gas, I think. I don't think it's for the electricity in the house. But yeah, it's generally a sighted person to get both of those if it's required for a meter reading.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. I think this has been a useful conversation, and hopefully if you are concerned about your energy usage and you want more accurate information, then you will be able to contact your energy supplier and ask for a smart meter with an accessible in-home display. Tasneem Arshad, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And a little bit later, I'll be taking an accessible in-home display for a test drive, so stay tuned.
So I'm always interested in learning about what headphones are available and accessible for blind and partially sighted people. Here's Dave along now, catching up with Colin Shales to hear about the latest update with the Apple AirPods Pro 2.
Hello,
It's always exciting to get some new tech, and somebody who loves getting his hands on the latest and greatest is Colin Shales, who joins us now from RNIB's Technology for Life team. Hello, Colin. Welcome back to Tech Talk.
Hello, Dave. Thank you for having me on.
Brilliant to have you with us. Now, I know, like me, you are somebody who listens to a lot of music. You like listening to movies. You do quite a bit of travel up and down on the train. So it's really important for you that you have some really good, high-quality headphones, ideally of the wireless variety, ideally with a bit of noise reduction, you know, to reduce all that background noise, particularly on the train. Tell us about your most recent purchase.
I will do indeed. And yes, so I've gone through many iterations and different types of headphones to just try and find the right sound and the right fidelity. Listening to audio is really important to me. So a couple of years ago, I was introduced to the AirPods, which are produced by Apple, and their latest iteration was the AirPods Pro 2, which came out last month, which I managed to purchase straight away. Usually get some Apple product each year, and this was my choice. So the AirPods Pro 2, for anyone who doesn't know, are Bluetooth wireless headphones. Now, when they're in the case that charges them, you're looking at the size of something that looks like a box of matches, a small box of matches that with curved edges. Okay, and the AirPods themselves are very tiny. They sit inside your ear and connect to your Apple devices seamlessly. So the thing with the new AirPod Pro 2s, and I'll try not to sound like an Apple representative because I'm not, but I really love these headphones. So they instantly connect to my iPad and my iPhone. So that's really important to me when I'm on my journey and I'm switching between devices and I'm maybe running VoiceOver on my iPad and a phone call comes in on my iPhone. Now they switch straight to the iPhone seamlessly and I don't have to be fiddling around with buttons to try and get them to connect to different devices, which is really convenient when you're on the move. The AirPods themselves, so Apple have introduced more active noise cancellation with these, so they are very quiet in noisy environments, which is very useful when I'm on the train and you just want to listen to your voiceover, or maybe it's audio, a podcast, radio, or a talking book. And it just cuts out that background sound on the train to give you that attention to listen to the audio. Sometimes, in fact, I'm often falling asleep with the noise cancellation on and not hearing either my stop being announced on the train or the conductors come and shook my shoulder to let me know he wants to see my ticket. So that's how good this noise cancellation is. But interestingly, when you're walking around with AirPod Pro 2s, the adaptive noise cancellation when you're actually in transparency mode. Now, transparency mode allows you to hear things around you whilst listening to your audio, but with the adaptive noise cancellation, when a loud siren goes off or a power drill maybe in your vicinity, it's just going to capture that and reduce the sound instantly. And I think Apple say that it does that something, it looks out for those sounds, or hears out for those sounds at 48,000 times a second. It's instantly quick, and it just cuts out that really deafening sound for you when you're out and about.
Wow, so lots of stuff to think about there. I mean, people will, of course, be familiar with, you know, the idea of wireless headphones and noise reduction, and obviously you need to make sure that you're using, you know, that noise cancellation when you are in, you know, safe place, and obviously be mindful of that. But what was the reason for upgrading? Because you're not a stranger to wireless headphones. I know you've had various Bose products in the past. You've had AirPods in the past, in fact. What's the big difference? What's the kind of the game changer for you that forced you to kind of go out and shell out that, you know, £249? It's not a, you know, they're not cheap earphones, are they?
No, they're not a cheap product, but I have spent similar prices on headphones in the past. The Bose on ear you mentioned a few years ago were very great. They were good. but I opted for portability. These are tiny, okay? So yes, the problem with these is you can lose them quite easily, but I traded off, you know, that risk for something that I could slip into my pocket easily, a device that I could just stick into my ear, and even just one ear, so I could quickly listen to voiceover on my phone in a busy environment. And it's the convenience of it. And the reason why I upgraded, well, apart from my original AirPods were getting a little bit run down after nearly 3 years of use, actually. I think it was 2.5 years of use. There's some really interesting little upgrades on this particular model, the AirPod Pro 2. So the being able to charge using my MagSafe charger, having a lanyard loop. I know it's a simple little thing, but on the case, you now have the lanyard loop to attach that to a case or your jacket or something like that. I'm less likely to lose the case itself. Now, the Find My feature in Apple, which allows you to find these devices, if they fall out your ear and pop under the sofa or something like that, they've added with the U1 chip more precise location of each individual AirPod and the case itself. And with a speaker now built in, you can locate each of the three components using the Find My and sound location.
Right. By the three components, you mean the two AirPods and the case itself?
That's right. The case itself.
Because that was always the thing, wasn't it? That with the old AirPods, if you had them in your ears and you put the case down somewhere and you'd forgotten where you'd put the case, then you didn't have a way of locating it. Yeah. So that's actually a nice accessibility feature, isn't it, Colin? I think it's important to focus on that, that sometimes, you know, if you put stuff down, particularly in an unfamiliar environment, you know, if you're in a hotel or, you know, somewhere that you don't normally go, you might not always remember where you put it. And so having that Find My capability. And have you tried that with your phone?
I have, because I was dubious about it working initially, but I have tested it, and it will, in the Find My app on your iPhone, it will tell you if there's one AirPod out of the case or both AirPods out of the case, and it will locate each individual component using a sound played over either the case or the AirPods. So it does do that, and it's a bit, if anyone is familiar with AirTag, it's like there's an AirTag built into the case, so you can use your phone to locate precisely where in your home or your hotel room your case is. Now, unfortunately, if you lose these AirPods, and they are quite small, sometimes they can fall out your ear. You know, you may be stuck there, but if it's in your vicinity, then you're going to be okay, I think.
Okay, so that's, I suppose, the main accessibility difference between the old and the new.
Yeah, definitely the location and the fact that there's a speaker built into the case itself, so you know when it's charging, or it will play that sound if you lose the case itself.
Ah, so if you don't have the latest and greatest iPhone to do the very precise locating thing, you can still force the case to emit a noise through its speaker, yeah.
That's correct, yes. So it's the case itself as well, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Got it. Okay, fantastic. Well, let us know how you get on with those and enjoy them, as it sounds like you are. If folk listening have got questions about headphones generally, or need a little bit of help getting headphones paired, you know, via Bluetooth with their device, is that something that you folks in the Technology for Life team can help with?
Yes, absolutely, Dave. And between us, we all have different tastes in audio and what sort of headphones and headsets that, you know. So, yes, do call the Technology for Life team. We can provide advice on either wireless or wired headphones with your audio.
Excellent. Right. Well, we'll give those details in a second. And Colin, thank you so much for your time and joining us again on Tech Talk. And hopefully we'll hear from you again very soon.
Always a pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
Colin Shales there from RNIB's Technology for Life team. And if you have a question about headphones or anything else from a blindness or partially sighted perspective, you can get in contact over the phone on 0303 123 9999. That's 0303 123 9999. Or you can email tfl@rnib.org.uk. That's tfl@rnib.org.uk.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
This is Dave Williams and you're listening to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. Now, of course, in recent months, we've heard a lot about the cost of living crisis and the disproportionate effect that is having on blind and partially sighted people. One device that might be able to help at least a little bit with that is the accessible in-home display that connects wirelessly with your smart meter and can advise you about your energy usage. And we have looked at the accessible in-home display on Tech Talk previously, but I thought it was time that we revisited the accessible in-home display to really find out about what it is like to live with. And I have one here. I've had it now for, I think about 4 months. And in this demonstration, I'll talk about getting started, how you might customize some of the settings, the voice and the screen, find out how much energy you're using, both now and in the past, and also how to retrieve tariff and supplier information. This is by no means an exhaustive demonstration, and you really should read the documentation and speak with your energy supplier. Now, the device itself, the front panel, I guess, is about the size of a small smartphone. It's probably about, 3 inches by perhaps about 7 inches. So it's sort of roughly rectangular in shape with nice rounded corners. When it sits on the table, the display sort of slopes away from you slightly. So it's kind of angled up. Now, the compartment where the battery is housed also doubles as a stand that gives it that kind of angled effect. And if you slide the battery cover off, then this becomes more a kind of a candy bar sort of shape and could probably be mounted on the wall. But we have got ours. We just sit it on a little table, little occasional table in the lounge, so that we can check in with the device whenever it suits us. So the I did mention there that there is a battery, but for the most part, you're going to want to keep your accessible in-home display plugged in using the USB cable that is provided. I found that when I unplug that USB cable, the battery only seems to last for 2 or 3 hours. So you're probably going to want to keep it plugged in at most times. The front display, well, there's a big screen in the middle, and then to each side there are 3 buttons arranged in a column. They're quite tactile buttons. And these buttons sort of work in pairs. So at the top, we have our home button top left and then our menu button top right. And then the middle, we've got back on the left and we've got OK on the right. So it's going to cancel and OK. And then at the very bottom, we've got our arrows to move forward and backwards. So when I talk about moving forward, I'm pressing the bottom right button. When I'm talking about moving backwards, I'm pressing the bottom right button. And then when we go home, we are pressing our top left button. And we'll try and remind you of that as we go through. Now, on the very top edge of the device, there are 3 what feel like almost a bit like the sort of blister pack kind of shape that you would get some tablets in. So it's kind of 3 raised lumps, and you could be forgiven for thinking that they're all buttons. They're not. The left and right of those are lights, I believe, and in the center we have our button that is used to control the voice. So if I press that central button once, you'll hear this. I'll try it again.
Long press the top button to turn speech back on.
Okay, so you heard there. Long press the top button to turn speech back on. I had to press it a second time just to kind of wake up the accessible in-home display. And that is because I have turned off the voice, because I find that this device can be quite chatty. When you have the display plugged in and the voice switched on, every so often it'll shout out your energy usage. And you may want that for a period of time. You know, if you're cooking and you want to see how much energy your appliances are using, you may decide that you want that on. But for the most part, you probably won't. And so you can perform a long press on the top button, top middle button, and the speech will be switched on and off. So let's switch the speech on and see what the display says.
Speech has been turned on. Home. Two items. One. Energy now. Electricity usage is low. Green. Current hourly rate of 4 pence. Recent gas usage is low. Current hourly rate of 1 pence. Press the OK button to change to kilowatts. Lost network connection. The display is unable to connect to your smart meter. Please move the display closer to your smart meter.
Right, now I've come to the back of the house where I do my recording, so I'm a little bit remote from the smart meter, so that's why you heard that message there. So you do need to stay within range of the smart meter. I would say probably kind of Bluetooth type range. So, you know, usually within, you know, kind of 10 meters of your smart meter. So perhaps worth finding out where your smart meter is situated, and for best performance, try to stay in range of that. So that's the first thing. Keep the voice switched off if you don't want this to chatter away at you at all times. And also keep in range of your smart meter. Now, you heard there that we're currently using 4 pence an hour in electricity and 1 pence an hour in gas. The default, however, is to tell you in kilowatt hours, which I don't know about you, doesn't mean a lot to me, but we can change to kilowatt hours. And there was an instruction there to do that. I think we can press OK, which, if you remember, is middle right.
Electricity usage is low. Green. Current rate of 157 watts. Recent gas usage is low. Current rate of 216 watts.
Okay, so that doesn't really mean a lot to me because, you know, I work in pounds and pence, not really in kilowatt hours. So I'm just going to press OK again.
Electricity usage is low. Green. Current hourly rate of 4 pence.
All right, so there we are, 4 pence. So so that is the most basic way in which you would use the display, basically, is to do that kind of that long press on the top button, and you will have the display automatically read out to you. So the next thing, of course, is to find out about your historical usage, because that's what we're using now. But that doesn't tell us anything about how much we've used today or how much we've used this week or even how much we've used this month. So for that information, we perhaps need to...
To energy today. Total electricity used today, £2.92. 82% of your budget has been used. Total gas used today, £1.11. 99% of your budget has been used. Press the OK button to change to kilowatts.
Okay, so I have set a budget there, and so that's why you heard those percentage figures. And the way I got to that historical information about what we've used today is just by simply using those arrow keys at the bottom left and the bottom right of the screen. I press the forward arrow at bottom right to move to the daily usage. And if I press it again.
One, energy now. Electricity usage is low. Two, energy today. Total electricity. One.
Okay, and it just toggles between those two screens. So you can see today's usage and you can see the current usage. So that kind of gives you a flavour of what's going on there. So the next step is to pop into the menu and let's see if we can find out a bit more about what's been going on this week and this month. So I'm just going to press the menu button, which if you remember is top right.
Main menu. Seven items. One. Usage history. Press the next or previous buttons to move between items, then press the OK button to select.
Okay, and the next or previous are the buttons that I've been referring to as kind of forward and backwards, those bottom left and bottom right buttons. So I'm going to press the OK button to go into the usage history, which is middle right.
Usage history. Two items. One. Electricity. Press the next or previous buttons to move between items, then press the OK button to select.
Let's select electricity.
Electricity usage history. Four items. 1 hours. Total today is £2.92. This includes a daily standing charge of 48.2 pence. Press the OK button to change to kilowatts.
Okay.
The summary now follows. Press the top button to stop. The highest cost was 59 pence during the hour of 5 p.m. Midnight, 3 pence. 1 a.m.
Okay, so now it's going to list the hours through the day and how much was spent in each hour, but it's telling us that the most electricity was used between 5 and 6, and that kind of makes sense because that was when we were cooking our dinner and, you know, my son was probably on his console and the dishwasher, I think, was on as well, doing a load from earlier. So that's when we were using the most energy. So that sort of makes sense. So I'm just going to arrow forward here.
2 days. Total today is £2.
And again.
3 weeks. Total this week is £12.04.
Okay, so there we go. We spent £12 on electricity this week. And then again.
4 months. Total this month is £90.48.
So there you go. You can really hear that the electricity costs are ramping up there. But I'm able to at least get the information so I kind of know, you know, what it is I'm up against. So that's how you get your historical information. Simply press the menu button, which is the top right. And it's the first item in the menu is the usage. And then you choose gas or electricity. And from there, you can arrow through and hear more about that. So let's go back to the menu. And the final thing I just want to show you is how you find out what tariff you are currently on. Let's do that now. So press menu.
Main menu. 7 items. 1. Usage history. 2. System status. 3. Meter balance. 4. Tariffs.
Okay, so item number 4, I'm just going to press OK.
2 items. 1. Electricity.
Let's go with that.
Electricity tariff. Your electricity supply is on a credit tariff. The current tariff is 27.865 pence per kilowatt hour. There is an additional daily standing charge for your supply of 48.12 pence. Price includes VAT.
So I know now that my standing charge is roughly 48 pence a day. And that my per unit cost is 27 pence per unit. So that really now gives me a much better handle on the kind of tariff that I'm on. And then when that changes, or if I move to a different supplier, I'm able to make those comparisons. Or if I'm speaking to a supplier, I can ask, what's your standing charge? What's your per unit cost? I'm armed with that information. The final thing I wanted to show you, perhaps this is one of the first things actually that you may want to do, and that is to customize the accessibility settings to suit you. So I'm just going to press the menu button again, top right.
Main menu, 7 items. 1.
And we're going to arrow down.
2. Systems. 3. Meet. 4. Tariffs. 5. Meters. 6. Support. 7. Settings.
Settings. Okay.
Settings. 5 items. 1. Talking options.
Now, the only thing you can really do in the talking options is to change the volume. There are 3 volume levels. You can't really adjust the speed or choose the voice. You've got the voice that you've got, basically. It's that English male voice. But this will go quite loud, actually. If you do struggle with hearing speaking devices, you can get quite a bit of volume out of this. Let's move forward.
2. Budget. 3. Display.
And in the display settings, you can set the screen brightness, which you may find helpful if you're somebody that needs the screen to be that little bit brighter. Or maybe you want to get a bit more battery life and you don't need the display. So perhaps you can turn the brightness down. So those are the ways in which you can customize the accessible in-home display. So there we are. I'm going to go back to my home screen.
Home. 2 items. 1. Energy now. Electricity usage is low. Green. Current hourly rate of 4 pence.
Now, you might wonder, why is it saying the colour? And basically, your energy usage is banded into kind of 3 categories, if you will. That is green for low energy usage. I think there's amber for kind of medium energy usage, and red when the accessible in-home display thinks you're using a lot of energy. So it's another way that you can get a feel for your consumption. And don't forget, if it is chuntering away, you can just press that top button once, which is a bit like pressing the control key on a screen reader. You know, if you're using your screen reader, you can just press the control key, or on an iOS device, single tap with 2 fingers. So that will just kind of hush it up real quick. But if you actually want to turn the voice off so you don't get any automatic speech, then we perform a long press of the top middle button.
Speech has been turned off.
There you go. And we've done that now. So if you would like to learn more about the accessible in-home display and maybe you want to read all about that, you can do so at smartenergygb.org. That's smartenergygb.org. Received an email from Colin. Thank you very much, Colin, for getting in touch. And Colin asks, I was wondering if any of our listeners had purchased a smart doorbell linked to Alexa. Have you considered doing a review on your show? Well, yeah, we have actually. And it wasn't that long ago, I think, Callum Stoneman, you were looking at the Ring video doorbell and you were using that with your phone, but you can link it to your smart speaker.
Yeah, you can. So I think it was a couple of months ago, maybe. I did a demo of the Ring doorbell because I've got Ring doorbell and the Ring alarm and Ring cameras all around my house. And yeah, I didn't really cover the Alexa integration, but yeah, it does link into Lady A, so you can have your Echo devices work as a chime. So when someone presses the bell, all the Echo devices in my house do a little ding-dong and it says, you know, someone's at the front door. And you can have it alert you when there's a sort of motion detected as well. I don't have that. Mine just alerts me when you press the button. And you can also answer the door as well, so you can say, answer the front door or talk to the front door, and it will kind of like a call. If you use the Alexa calling features, it will bring up the doorbell. If you've got an Echo with a screen, so for example an Echo Show, it will bring up the live feed so you can actually see what the camera is seeing as well as hear the audio. Or if you've got just a standard Echo or an Echo Dot, then it will just give you the audio and you can talk to the person at the door from there, and when you're done, just say hang up and it will end the live stream. So it works all right. I don't really tend to use it that much, but you know, it does work well if that's easier to answer the door and check who's there.
Apparently the latest feature, Callum, the latest version of the Ring doorbell does actually allow you to unlock the door as well and to lock it.
Yeah, they can. If you've got you need like a smart door lock for that, but yeah, I think There's quite a few that can sort of tie into that as well. So I don't know how well it kind of works and if it links into the Ring app and stuff. I imagine it probably will. But yeah, it's an option. If you've got that sort of equipment, then yeah, you could answer the door, check who's there, and then unlock it and let them in all via the same app. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Okay, so for the Alexa integration, Callum, I'm going to delegate this to you to perhaps give us a little bit of a demo on a future show, if that's all right?
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much indeed. We appreciate that. And thanks for getting in touch, Colin. So we've heard from Gareth, who says he was very interested to hear our piece on Welsh accessibility, but said we didn't cover the whole picture. Well, thank you, Gareth, for getting in touch. Gareth wants to point out that actually on the iPhone, there is good grade 2 Braille support for Welsh, and that Gareth is able to scan printed Welsh using his iPal scanner. Gareth goes on to say that he has scanned an entire book from which he can now sing and believes that Welsh Braille is the way to go. And also Gareth mentions the fact that he is 70, so you're never too old for technology. Thanks for getting in touch, Gareth, and it would be great to get you on the programme at some point. And that's all we've got time for here on Tech Talk. Thank you, as ever, for your company. Do let us know what you're up to in the world of technology, what's working, what's not working, and what needs fixing. We'd be delighted to hear from you. You can email, as always, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And don't forget, we love to hear your voice as well. So if you'd like to record a little voice note and send that across, we'd be delighted to receive it. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. And we do read every single email. So thank you so much for sending them. We don't always have time to feature them all on the show, but we do appreciate you contacting the programme. So from myself, Dave Williams, and Callum Stoneman and Tasnee Marshard, we'll see you soon. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.